You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
To the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Ollie Pimlott with you here to look ahead to the best of Monday's racing. Action coming from Wolverhampton and Plumpton to look forward to on Monday. Unfortunately, no Foss last. That one has fallen foul of the weather. But we're left with two meetings, two pretty competitive cards as well, to be fair. There's some decent racing as well, considering it is a Monday. And here's Ollie Pimlott. You're right.
You're very jovial today, Alex Dunn. Is it because the Toon Army got a win yesterday?
Well,
I feel a bit of optimism in your voice.
It's a rarity, isn't it? Let's be honest. You've got to make the most of it when it does happen. No, that was good yesterday, and we had some good racing yesterday as well, didn't we?
Yeah, some excellent stuff. Obviously, lots of festival pointers. But where these horses will be going, Alex, is a different question, because William Mullins, as we all know, has got an incredibly strong hand in a lot of the races. And we still don't really know where a lot of yesterday's winners will be headed at the festival.
Of course, he had a fantastic day at Warwick yesterday. It's a track he does very, very well at when he does send horses over. They are normally for sort of listed contests, some mares races, where there's some decent prize money, and the opposition's lacking, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But the opposition, I don't think, was lacking yesterday. And Black Hercules, I didn't think could have been any more impressive. To say it was only his second start, obviously he won Handers and Heels ride at Nace on his debut, but yesterday he didn't half jump for Danny Mullins. Really, really impressive performance. They could go two ways with him. They could drop him back in trip, they could stay at 3 miles for the RSA, or they could obviously go for the 4 miler. But it was one of the better novice chase performances I've seen all season, I think. It was really, really impressive.
No, it was a fantastic jumping effort all the way around. And Warwick's one of those tracks that once you do get into a nice rhythm, it looks fantastic.
It is, but if you don't get into a rhythm while Warwick, it's one of the tougher tracks around England. And around Britain to jump round. So the fact he jumped so well, he's going to have no problem jumping around Cheltenham. So it was an excellent performance. Named after one of the characters of my favourite films, Alex Dunn, Black Hercules. Oh. Django Unchained. Have you seen that film?
I have actually. Yeah. Very nice.
Patrick Mullins initially.
He's not in Django.
No, he named it. He owned it, and then he sold it to Mr. Wiley.
Okay.
After he won his bumper.
Yeah, very nice. Nice little story there as well. Yeah. 5-1 that one for the National Hunt Chase, the 4 miler at Cheltenham.
I would like
for the RSA.
I would like non-runner no bet at the minute, because we're going to come to the other two possibilities for the 4 miler, who of course took each other on at Nace yesterday. The two Mullins horses, Wada Frank, got the best of Pont Alexandra. I would actually take Pont Alexandra out of that race.
Okay.
It's only his second run in 2 years. He was obviously a very, very decent novice indeed. Had his problems. I just think the way he battled back after the line, he might well come on a good deal for that race. William Mullins has come out and said he'd probably improve a lot more than Wada Franks out of that race. So I'd probably take Pont Alexandra out of that race. And he looked like he would be more inclined to go for the 4 mile than Wada Franks. He jumped excellently to Pont Alexandra, but the way he battled back after he was overtaken by Wada Franks, I think he's got a good deal of scope to save further, whereas Wada Franks might be a little bit classier and might keep him to 3 mile. But you look at the top of the betting in the 4 miler, Jigginstown have obviously got two of the front five. No More Heroes, he'd be my idea of the RSA Chase winner. I think he'll go for that, but he's in there at 10-1. Got Wada Frank for Jigginstown as well. He's 8, so of course beat Pont Alexandra yesterday. Remained the same price though. Pont Alexandra is 8, Black Hercules is 5. But of all those, if they're all going to turn up, we pretty much know that No More Heroes is going to go for the RSA. I'll be with Black Hercules. Just the way he jumped yesterday, he was really, really outstanding. I mean, Patrick Mullins will probably ride him in the National Hunt Chase, and he'll jump him out in front, and he'll probably lead them a merry dance, because certainly on his pedigree as well, he will stay.
I think that,
and with the way he shaped yesterday, he wasn't stopping over 3 miles.
The key is, it's just if he turns up. At 5-1, I can't see him out the frame, but it's just provided he turns up. And also, with it being the amateur riders, of course, Patrick Mullins, you can't get much better than him, can you?
You can't, really. Barring Jamie Codden, yeah. Derek O'Connor.
Maybe Nina Carberry as well.
Yeah. Katie Walsh you can throw in there as well, but they're all pretty much based with the Mullins team anyway. Yeah. So, yeah, Black Hercules is going to take a lot of beating if he turns up in the National Hunt Chase. It was probably the best performance we saw yesterday.
Roose Blanc won the classic chase at Warwick, over 3 miles and 5 furlongs, beating Midnight Prayer, Dromnia and Oublon de Zobo. It was pretty much a two-horse race for the last half mile, wasn't it? And Roose Blanc, though headed, continued to jump well, is a really tough horse. Surprising, though, that Midnight Prayer didn't quite see it out, or I say didn't quite see it out, just made that mistake where it really, really cost the horse the race, really.
Yeah, back Midnight Prayer, anti-postal Welsh National. He'd missed that because of a cough. Alan King did come out and say he'll probably improve again for that run yesterday. I think he was beaten fair and square, has to be said. I think going forward, he's going to be the better horse than Roose Blanc. Obviously, Roose Blanc's got a lot of followers anyway, one of the few white horses in training in the UK. Another fantastic weekend for Kerry Lee. Of course, won the Welsh National with Mountainous last week and won the Classic Chase over at Warwick yesterday. So a fantastic start to a training career. She's only got 23 horses, I think, in training. And she's won two really big pots over successive weekends.
She?
Yeah, because she only took over her father in the summer, who, of course, he himself did so well with a small string in winning a number of Welsh Nationals.
Do you think she's improving the horses, or do you think that it's just January and this is when her father's horses came to hand anyway, given the ground conditions and the fact that they all do tend to stay well?
I think Kerry has always been heavily involved in the team. I just think it's a case of her name being on the licence rather than the father's. I don't think there'll be any change in the training regime. I know her father's still heavily involved with it. I just think it'd be a sort of change in the guard in terms of the name on the trainer's licence. She'll obviously make more of the big decisions, but I don't think there'll be any sort of change in the way that she's trained them compared to her father. I just think it'll just be a sort of she'll have a lot more say. Obviously, she'll have the final say now. But the horses, they did clearly do something excellently well. Her father's well known for bleeders, stopping horses bleeding. They train in the Herefordshire area, plenty of nice fresh air, and they seem to love staying chasers in the soft and heavy ground, don't they?
Absolutely. One other one to take out of yesterday was Lammy Surge. Didn't beat much at Wetherby, just like he didn't beat much the time before, but he jumps well. He's 8-1 second favourite for the Arkle, or 12-1 for the JLT at the festival. Whatever happens, he's a really, really nice prospect, and you almost hope that they don't... Well, personally, I think that the Arkle will go to Duvan, whatever turns up. So I would prefer them to go to the JLT, because I do like Lammy Surge, and I think he's a nice jumper. I would like to see him have a proper test before the festival, though.
Yeah, he's going to have another proper test. I think he's going to head to the Kingmaker over 2 miles at Warwick in 4 weeks' time. That'll probably decide which way they go, either JLT or for the Arkle. I know Nicky Henderson wanted to give him 3 races before Cheltenham. Obviously, he beat one runner at Plumpton. He beat basically one yesterday. Mm. She's a decent mare, isn't she? She beat yesterday Run Ruction's Run. Obviously, he'd won it Wesby prior
solid.
To that. But she's probably grade 3 class, isn't she?
At best, yeah.
Yeah, she's a very decent handicapper. Probably listed grade 3 class at best, but all he can do is win. He jumped outstandingly well, and he was out in front, so he learned a fair bit. Darrell Jacob led him bowl along in front, jumped really well. Obviously, Wetherby takes a bit of jumping as well. So, another tick in the box. I think we'll learn more again in the Kingmaker, where he'll take on better quality opposition. As you say, I just wouldn't want to play him yet. I think they might go for the easier test in the JLT.
Okay.
It could well cut up the Arkle. One I do like in the JLT is Sizing John.
12-1.
Obviously, he bumped into Duvan last time. He was an excellent novice last year, and he's shaped, certainly.
He can jump, can't he?
He can't half jump. Mm. Sizing John, he's a big lad. Built for chasing, all the cliches, ready-made chaser and all that. But the way he's stuck on against Duvan, the way he's won his races at the start of the season, I think he's nailed on to get the JLT trip.
Okay.
I think he looks the value in that racer to run about 12-1.
Right, lovely stuff. We'll move on to Monday's action then, and we'll start with Wolverhampton's 2:30. It's a handicap over the extended mile trip. We've got 7 runners down to go to post for this one, Ollie. And a few of these arrive here in good nick. You've got the likes of Abby Angel, who's been running well of late, Big Time as well. And then the classier horses, if you like, the likes of Best Example, who we'll start with here.
Yeah, I think Best Example's probably going to go off favourite, and rightly so. least exposed in the field. He last won at Chelmsford back in October. He's 4-for-11 in a handicap at Kempton. That was 33 days ago. He wasn't ideally drawn on that day at Kempton from a poor draw, wasn't ideally placed, came from a long way back to finish a fast finishing fourth. That would suggest that his the handicap has been pretty lenient with him, didn't touch him that day, runs off a mark of 85 today. So the handicap has given him a chance. I think he's a very worthy favourite here. Big Time, which of course is named after you, Alex Dunn. he's generally consistent, isn't he, this gelding by Khalif for the Dandy Nichols team. He's run plenty of times, but he's not won for 15 starts. His last win was back in 2013. He was second of eight in a handicap at Lingfield 40 days ago. First start on to Peter, but given he goes well at Kempton and Lingfield, should be no problem going here at Wolverhampton. But the handicapper just seems to have him, and I think this is going to go to one of the least exposed in the field. Got to make mention of Abby Angel. She's another one who's generally consistent. But again, she's not run for 11 starts. She was second of nine at Chelmsford last time. Cheap pieces back on. That might eke out a little bit more. She's got 8 stone 2, so she's getting a lot of... 8 stone 12, sorry. So she's getting a lot of weight off the top horses here. Jack Geraghty is on board. But I just thought the handicap has got her as well. Probably as a price play, I would chance Street Force here. Bred for the job by Street Cry. Course and distance winner. Generally consistent. Has been running well. 3 wins from its last 11 starts. Last one back here in December. A little bit disappointing at Chelmsford last time, but I think the heavier surface there didn't really suit this son of Street Cry. Back here at Wolverhampton should suit a little bit more. Mick Appleby has his team in excellent form. So if I was taking the favourite on here, probably would be with Street Force, but can't look past Best Example. Still looks very well handicapped. Didn't get the run of a race from a poor draw at Kempton last time. So the selection of the 2:30 at Wolverhampton would be Best Example for the informed side, Bin Saror and Martin Harley.
Okay, Best Example to pick in that one. We'll move to the 4:30 from Wolverhampton, which is a handicap over the extended mile and a half trip. Plenty of stayers in this one, Ollie. Some that are informed, some that definitely aren't, but it's hard to rule any of these out with any confidence because on their day, they're all nice types.
Well, there's a number here who are extremely well handicapped. Sizzler, the top weight for Rafe Beckett and Graham Gibbons, was third of 19 at Royal Ascot, but it's been off 19 months since. Dropped significantly down in trip as well. We've got a big question mark about his well-being here, Alex, and of course the trip. But decent prize on offer, over $7,000 to the winner. Positive jockey booking. Graham Gibbons got an excellent strike rate for Rafe Beckett, but there is big question marks over his well-being. 580 days off the track. Say, we last saw him at last year's Royal Ascot, so a long time to be off the track and to come straight to such a competitive race. Another one we've got to mention here who is arguably well handicapped is Communicator, but he's not won for 23 starts. That was back in 2012. He's only 7th of 10 at Lingfield 3 weeks ago. Cheap pieces on first time might eke out that little bit of improvement. Surprised that the Andrew Balding team have not gone for these a little bit sooner. He's extremely well handicapped on previous form, but he's not won in such a long time. But those cheap pieces could eke out that little bit of value. Same applies to Kashmir Peak. He's a very infrequent winner, this lad. Obviously, he's a good horse over jumps, won a graded race at Doncaster as a four-year-old, but he's only 1 from 27 on the flat. Generally comes there tanking, doesn't find a great deal for pressure. John Quinn had a nice bumper winner at Warwick yesterday, so his team aren't in too bad a form. Callum Shepherd, I think, is decent value for his five, but he's not one to throw your hat on, Kashmir Peak. So I'm going to take a chance on the bottom weight here, Paddy's Motorbike. I think Josephine Gordon's excellent value, even though she's down to £5 now. Bottom weight here, so she takes £5 off 8 stone 12. Thought it shaped pretty well when it was third at 7 at Kempton 16 days ago. We know the yard are in good form. We know the horse is in good form. It's the percentage call, Alex, because a lot of these have huge question marks about them. So be a tentative selection, but I go with Paddy's Motorbike in the 4:30 at Wolverhampton.
Okay, Paddy's Motorbike, the pick in that one. We'll move to Plumpton then for two contests over jumps. We'll start with a 2:45 from Plumpton. It's a handicap hurdle over the extended 3 mile trip, nearly 3 miles and 1 furlong. And again, you've got a few here arriving in decent form, a few that have got jockeys taking weight off, which could be key in what's likely to be testing ground. But you could give chances to a few here, Al.
Yeah, chances to plenty of these. Probably going to go 3 or 4 to 1 bar. Fleming Two Toes, probably likely your likely favourite here for Sarah Humphrey, who I think is an excellent trainer with the limited amount of horses she has. Roman Clovral, who's based with her. He takes £10 off. I've seen him a couple of times. I don't think he rides too badly for his £10 claim. Mm-hmm. So he's the way you've got to start. It's a devilishly tricky encounter because we're yet to see what the ground is going to be like at Plumpton, but it can't be anything other than heavy. So it's who gets home the best here. Again, I think the percentage call might be Rebley. It was third of six last time at Plumpton. It was a modest third, if anything. It was beaten 23.5 lengths. That was in the Sussex National. Staying is Rebley's game, but you couldn't have a team in better form than Rebley. Switches from fences to hurdles tomorrow. Off a mark of 111, he's pretty well treated on his chase form. So I think switching back to hurdles tomorrow could be the key to Rebley. He's a little bit long in the tooth now, 11 years old, but Gary and Josh Moore are a team in excellent form. Pretty compressed handicap this, because not a lot settles the top weight. You've got eight runners pretty much running with only £5 between them, but Rebley would be a tentative selection in the 2.45 at Plumpton.
Okay, Rebley the pick in that one. The 3.15 at Plumpton is a handicap chase over almost 3 miles and 2 furlongs. Again, stamina is going to be key here, Ollie. Not many of these arriving here in Fantastic Nick.
No, not many of these in Fantastic Nick at all. Pretty low-grade handicap, has to be said. But the one I did like here was Leaf Hill Legacy for Charlie Longston. Sam Twiston Davies has ridden this horse on the last three occasions. I have to say, was very disappointing last time when he pulled up. Lost his place pretty quickly at the ninth when he was tailed off and pulled up by Sam Twiston Davies. Was well supported that day, wore blinkers and a tongue tie. Prior to that, he'd looked in excellent form. He's won his last two starts and looked mildly progressive. He'd risen from a mark of 79 to 100, so arguably the handicapper had got him. But in between those two wins was a pulled up as well at Chepstow. So he's a little bit in out, this fella. But even so, if you forgive him that pulled up last time, he'd be more than capable of winning this. So the selection in the 3.15 at Plumpton is Leaf Hill Legacy for Charlie Longston and Sam Twiston Davies.
OK, great stuff, Ollie. Thanks very much for your time. Best luck with your selections on Monday and enjoy all the action.
Thank you, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.